නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ So last week we discussed Kacchanagotta Sutta, and the previous weeks we also discussed Samadhitti Sutta. All these suttas actually highlight the importance of the Samadhitti, the right view. The whole Samadhitti Sutta in Majjhima Nikaya was explained by Venerable Sariputta. And today also we have taken a sutta which is discussed by Venerable Sariputta. This is also a very well-known sutta available in Majjhima Nikaya 28th, Mahahatti Padopama Sutta. The greater discourse on the simile of the elephant's footprint. Now, at one occasion, Buddha was dwelling at Savatthi in Jetha's grove, and at that occasion, Venerable Sariputta addressed the monks, and then they replied as friend. So we are ready to listen, and then Venerable Sariputta want to explain some dhamma. So, Seyathapi also Yankinchi Jangalanang Pananang Padajatani Sabbani Tani Hattipade Samodhanang Gacchanti Hattipadang Tesang Aggamakkhayati Yadidang Mahane Tattena Evamevako also Yekechi Kusala Dhamma Sabbete Chatusu Ariya Sachesu Sangaham Gacchanti. Now he is taking the Four Noble Truths and then giving a simile of the elephant's footprint. So we all know that the elephant's footprint is the largest one in the forest. So if we see an elephant's footprint, we know it's a fairly large one, and you can put any of the other animals' footprint inside of it. So the elephant's footprint encompasses everyone else's footprint, so large. So similarly, Venerable Sariputta mentioned, if we consider all different sorts of Dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha, these Four Noble Truths are the most important one, or we can say the chief of them. When we consider different teachings of the Buddha, the chief of them is the Four Noble Truths. So, what are the Four Noble Truths? So, here he is giving a brief explanation. Katamesu chatusu. Dukkhe ariya sacce, dukkha samudaya ariya sacce, dukkha nirodhe ariya sacce, dukkha nirodha gaminiya, patipadaya ariya sacce. Now, these are the Four Noble Truths. The Noble Truth of Suffering, the Noble Truth of Origination of Suffering, then the Noble Truth of Cessation of Suffering, and the Noble Truth of the Way leading to the Cessation of Suffering. So basically, we discussed this even during the Samadhitti Sutta. In the Samadhitti Sutta also, Venerable Sariputta points out that one has to have some understanding about the Four Noble Truths. And if so, he is a person with the right view. So one aspect of right view is to have thorough understanding or realization about the Four Noble Truths. And there's a traditional wish that people usually make, that may you understand Four Noble Truths. Now that's a kind of a wish sometimes people used to say, because the understanding of Four Noble Truths is extremely important. And the First Noble Truth with respect to the Noble Truth of Suffering. So Buddha particularly highlight that you need to thoroughly understand it. The dukkha has to be thoroughly understood. Dukkhang ariya saccang parinyayang. It has to be thoroughly understood. The second one, that is the cause of suffering, tanha, has to be abandoned. Dukkha samudayang ariya saccang pahatabbang. So you need to clearly see it, and once it is occurring at your mind, again and again, one has to abandon it, let it go. And the third noble truth, dukkha nirodhaṃ ariya saccaṃ sacchikātabbaṃ, it has to be realized. So once it is present in the mind, you need to notice it, recognize it, appreciate it, be with it, dwell with it, realize it. So it's very difficult in a way, because what we can see in our minds are the conditioned phenomena. Those are easily traceable, easily noticeable. When they are absent and there is no grasping, so such mental state is very difficult to comprehend, very difficult to even appreciate. But the point is here, with respect to the third noble truth, you need to realize it. You need to dwell in it. Thoroughly understand it, thoroughly be in it, and realize it. Now, the fourth noble truth, dukkha nirodha gamini patipada ariya saccham bhave tabbam. So in order to accomplish this whole task, you need a path, you need a practice. So that is the Noble Eightfold Path, and that has to be developed. Bhave tabbam. So this is the important model that we need to keep in our mind. And today we can start with the first noble truth. So that is how Venerable Sariputta approached this sutta. So basically he is trying to give us some understanding about the four noble truths. And first of all, he is going to explain what is the first noble truth, the noble truth of suffering. Kataman chauso dukkhaṃ ariya saccaṃ. Jātipi dukkha, jarāpi dukkha, maranampi dukkhaṃ, sokaparideva dukkha domanasu pāyāsāpi dukkha, yampiccan nalabati tampi dukkhaṃ, saṅkittena panchupādāna khandā dukkha. Now this is how he explained the first noble truth. Birth is suffering, aging is suffering, death is suffering, sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief and despair are suffering. Not to have what one wants is suffering. And in short, the five aggregates affected by clinging are suffering. Probably you can remember in the Buddha's discourse on the Four Noble Truths, the very first discourse, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he further mentioned piyehi vipayogo dukkho, apiyehi sampayogo dukkho. That means being apart from the loved ones and being have to associate the sort of which we don't like, so that also produce suffering. So that part is not included here, but anyway we can consider that that is there in the not obtaining what one wants is suffering. Somewhat we can recognize inside it, we can consider that as well. Now special attention of Venerable Sariputta is drawn to the last one, saṅkittena pañcupādāna khandā dukkha. So that is the last statement even by the Buddha when he was explaining the first noble truth. Venerable Sariputta also repeats the same thing. In brief, clinging to five aggregates are suffering. Now first of all we need to understand what are the five aggregates. So he then gives an explanation about the five aggregates. Kathame chauso panchupadana kanta sayati da. What are the five aggregates affected by clinging? Rupa upadana kando, vedana upadana kando, sanyu upadana kando, sankharu upadana kando, vinyanu upadana kando. The material form aggregate affected by clinging. The feelings aggregate affected by clinging. Perception aggregate affected by clinging, and then the formations aggregate affected by clinging, and this consciousness aggregate affected by clinging. Now in this sutta, now he starts one after the other step by step, and he now starts explaining what is the rupa upadana khanda. Kathama chauso rupa upadana khandu. Chattaricha Mahabhutani Chatunnancha Mahabhutanam Upadaya Rupam. And what is the aggregate affected by clinging? It is the four great elements and the material form derived from the four great elements. So what are the four great elements? Patavi dhatu, apo dhatu, tejo dhatu, vayo dhatu. They are the earth element, water element, fire element and the air element. Now he is further explaining one after the other about each element. So what is patavi dhatu? Katama chaoso patavi dhatu. Patavi dhatu siya ajjattika siya bahira. Now there are two categories of patavi dhatu. Two categories of the earth element. One is the internal, the other one is the external. So what are the internal earth element? Katamanchauso ajjattika patavi dhatu. Yang ajjattang pachattang kakkalang karigatang upadinnang. So there are these words are very important. Ajjattang, they are internal. Pachattang, we consider them as belong to oneself. Kakkalang, they are solid. Karigatang, they are solidified. Upadinnang, and they are clung to. And it has another meaning. Basically, when we are born, they basically are born as a result of the previous karma. And that is what we immediately attach with, immediately grasping the body, the very beginning of the body, and it's growing, and so that is the upadinna. So what we acquired as a result of our birth. So when we are born to this life, so there is a body, so that is the upadinna kaya, the clung to the body, and that very basic form is the upadinna. Siyatidam kesa loma naka danta tacho mansan naharu atti attiminjang vakkang hadayang yakanang kilomakang pihakang pappasang antang antagunang udariyang karisang. Now these are the probably you can remember the dvattinsakara, the 32 parts of the body. Among them, except the Mattalungang, that is the brain, so all the other 19 parts are here. They are the head hairs, body hairs, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, sinews, bones, bone marrow, kidneys, heart, liver, diaphragm, spleen, lungs, intestines, mesentery, contents of the stomach, feces. And after coming to this, he then includes all other, whatever the solid, whatever the solidified, which are more into the earth characteristic. And yangva pana anyatampi kinchi ajjattang pachattang kakkalang karigatang upadinnam ayang uchatavaso ajjattika patavidhatu. There may be various other parts, so you know that when we consider the body, so these 19 parts are not the only parts. There may be other many small pieces. If they are actually showing some sort of a solidified nature, and that also included under this earth element, which is internal. So typically we consider this body belongs to me, and it is whatever inside the body we consider as internal, and what is outside the body we consider as external. So this is our normal understanding. So Venerable Sariputta is taking this same approach, and he is explaining that whatever internal, which are solid, solidified, that comes under the earth element. Now, how are we going to recognize them? So one thing is the reflection. So we all know where these parts are located. Probably you can refer an anatomy book if you want, so you can get some understanding about these body parts. And actually this is also a type of meditation. So probably you have heard about the Asubha Bhavana, where you are trying to recognize the loathsomeness of the body parts, where the reflection is that you are going one after the other, considering the loathsomeness of the body. But here, lotsamness is not considered. That we need to understand, because here we are not trying to understand the lotsamness of the body. Rather, we are trying to understand the solidity or solid nature of the body parts. So these 20 body parts or 19 body parts are considered like quite solid. They have their solid nature. It has its their shape. There's a fixed shape. There may be little some parts may be hard, some may be soft. So likewise, when we consider this 19 parts, so we can here actually trying to recognize their solid nature. And one interesting thing is you can use as a reflection, you are keeping your mindfulness, your concentration to each and every body parts, and again you are doing some sort of a body scan. So you can do it as a meditation. When you consider head hair, you are keeping your attention on the head hair. When you keep body hair, you keep your attention on body hair. Nails, you keep your attention on nails. Skin or teeth, you keep your attention on teeth. So likewise, you can go one after the other, paying attention to each and every body part. And that's not a difficult task, because you know how they are. Actually, when it comes to Visuddhi Magga and other traditional texts, so they are explaining in detail each and every part. So what is their shape, and how loathsome they are, and what is their color. So all that subtle details are there. But in general, we all know what is the color of the hair, what is the color of the nails, and what are their shape. All that we have some understanding. So that would be enough to start with. And you can keep your attention, your mindfulness, concentration to each body part, and keeping your attention there for a while, and then you are going to the next part. So likewise, if you do body contemplation, considering the various parts again and again, say you need to do it again and again, then your mind get concentrated further and further, because previously assume that your mind has scattered, distracted, but now you are trying to constrain your mind, your attention to these various body parts. So one result is actually you reduce your view of compactness. So we consider this body as one unit, one whole body, one thing. But as you contemplate like this, you may understand, okay, it is not just a single thing, it comprises of various body parts. That's a very, very important realization, because our assumption that this body is one thing, that's how we see it, that's how we refer it, or it belongs to me. So those kinds of wrong notions are there, wrong views are there. But when you consider this body as various body parts, so that compactness, taking the body as one single thing, is broken, shattered. And now you understand, okay, it is a combination of various body parts. This is very, very important. So when you know that the body consisting of various body parts, it is difficult for you to attach to it, grasp it, hold it as me, myself. Because now you know it is not just one thing, it is a combination of many body parts. Now say, for example, if you consider a car. A car has so many things. Four wheels are there, seats are there, axles are there, engine is there, and you have to put some oil that is there, maybe petrol and that sort of fuel is there, and steering wheel is there, and so much of small pieces they attach together, they are arranged in a particular pattern, and now we assemble it, and then we ultimately put a bonnet and all that, covering, and maybe even we apply some beautiful color, and now we call it as a car. We can attach to the car, You can consider it is as my car, my beautiful car, my new car, my old car, all that we can say. But if we again disassemble it, divide it to all little pieces, then we can see we can't find a car basically. So this car is actually a sammuti. Car is just a name that we have given after combining all these little pieces in a particular fashion, and then we have given it a name, a car. That's a convention. But if we divide it into little pieces, now we can understand, okay, there is no such thing called car. What is available is so many parts. Similarly, when we consider our body, we consider it as one thing in a general way, in an ignorant way, which causes a lot of attachment, lust, hatred, all that, because we consider our body also as one thing, someone else's body also as one thing, my loved one body also as one thing, and my enemy's body also as one thing. So I can generate lust or I can generate hate. But if I am able to dissect it or dissect it into little pieces, little body parts, then we can't find out a person. With whom am I going to be lustful? With whom am I going to be hateful? So basically we lose that hindrance, we lose that defilement, because we see to some extent its realistic nature. Now this is one aspect. Now after explaining Venerable Sariputta about the internal patavidhatu, he further say, Yacheva kopana anjattika patavidhatu yacha bahira patavidhatu patavidhatu revesa. Now both the internal earth element and the external earth element are merely simply earth element. Now even though we consider earth element as internal and external, earth element is merely earth element. So our demarcation is just a convention. It is our own assumption. The earth element doesn't know whether it is in a male body or female body. It's inside a child, inside a girl, inside a boy, inside a man, inside a woman. The earth element doesn't know any of those. So it is we that we have considered, okay, these are internal, these are external. But if we consider thoroughly, earth element is merely simply earth element. And that demarcation is our own demarcation. That is a assumed demarcation. It's not a real demarcation. Now what I have explained so far is actually just the dividing the body into various pieces, various earth element parts. But still the earth characteristics is not something that we understood. Now in certain cases, actually when we consider the body as these different body parts, it is true that we can understand they are consisting of various body parts and some of them are having too much earth characteristic, that solid characteristic. So we consider it has the majority of earth element. That is possible to understand. And another aspect is there when we are talking of the dhatu manasikara. So there we are going to another level. So how to practically understand the solid nature, the solidity. And in order to do that, we need the characteristics of the earth element. So here actually it is concisely or very briefly explained as in terms like kakkalang, karigatang. So kakkalang means very solid, solidified, gross or hard. So that characteristic is there in that term. So therefore, actually when we are talking the dhatu manasikara, we are trying to understand the earth characteristic more practically using the internal earth element. So typically therefore in elements meditation, dhatu manasikara, the earth element is explained with six characteristics. The hardness and then the softness. roughness and then smoothness, and then heaviness and then lightness. So altogether there are six characteristics: hardness and softness. So whenever you touch the earth element, earth characteristic, so either you feel it is as hard, or either you feel it as soft. Or it may be roughness or smoothness. A particular surface may be rough, or it may be very smooth. So they are actually showing the earth characteristics. Or it is heavy, or it is light. So when the earth element is solidified and accumulated to a very higher level, higher degree, we feel its heaviness, its weight. But if it is lightly connected, then we consider, okay, it is lighter. So this is the way, in a way, the practically how we can recognize the presence of the earth element. Now, what we have here learned through the Mahahattipadopama Sutta are different components which are showing all these six characteristics. Now, say for example, if you consider your teeth. So if you touch it, probably you might feel it as gross, or it is solid. It may be rough, or it may be smooth. And if you are touching it further, probably you might feel it as kind of rough or smooth. Or if you take it to your hand, it may have a certain weight, and it may be light. So if you consider another large body part, like bones, you can see the whole skeleton. The whole skeleton, if you touch one after the other, you can see that you can recognize this hardness. Hardness is there. And certain parts may be soft. Now, bones are particularly very hard. If you consider the flesh, if you consider the skin, then they may be soft, but still they are earth element. Certain parts are very, very solid, strongly bound, and they show their solidity, their hardness, roughness, they show particularly. And certain others, actually, even though they are also earth element, they are softly bound, and they are soft, and they are smooth. And similarly, if you consider the skeleton, it has a very higher weight also. Now, when you are weighing your body weight, a fair amount of weight is taken by the skeleton. Skeleton has a fair amount of weight. So similarly, all the earth parts, that means Patavidhatu combination, all they are showing some sort of a weight. You can measure it. Now, on the other hand, certain body parts may be lighter. Maybe if you consider the, say, nails or head hair, body hair, they may be very lighter. So likewise, so all these earth elements, some of them are lighter, some of them are heavy. So all that actually belongs to the earth element. Now it is available in the outside as well. Now you know that the earth element is not only inside the body, it is available in the outside also. Now say if you are keeping your hands on the table, now table also very solid, it's also very stable. Table is stable. Now you are keeping your hands on the table and you can feel its solidity. And a table may be rough if you haven't properly brushed it or softened it. It may be soft if you are keeping it very soft. So the smooth surface may be rough surface, its hardness, its softness. And table has certain weight, and certain tables may be light. So likewise, all the external solid objects also show all these six characteristics. Internal earth element also show these six characteristics. External earth element also show these six characteristics. So in the elements meditation in dhatumanasikara, not only we are trying to understand what they are through their names, so what are the body parts which consist mostly the earth element, there are names like head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh, etc. So we have to go further into the earth element characteristic. Because when you do some sort of a body contemplation, it is true that we can understand the presence of these various body parts. To some extent, it is also breaks the compactness view, the ghana sanya remaining in our mind. That is also quite helpful to avoid any kind of attachment, desire, lust, hatred. But as we further refine our attention to each and every part, probably you can understand there are subtle characteristics. So one example, if you consider, say you are keeping your attention on the rising and falling of the abdomen. So as we breathing in, rising happens. As we breathe out, falling happens. Now this is a very smooth process, very subtle process. Now there are also probably you can understand some sort of a hardness. Probably you can understand softness. Probably you can understand some tightness. Or maybe some lightness. Now if we consider rising and falling, it is more into the air element. But still, the earth element is also there. Probably you can recognize that. Now, say for example, while you are walking, so your body weight transfers from one way to the other, from one leg to the other leg. So if you are mindful, if you are keeping your attention, you will probably be able to recognize that. So how your body weight transfers from one leg to the other leg. So body weight. So the weight is earth characteristic. So here we are trying to recognize the characteristics. And even as you continue, probably we can drop the names what we have given, like body hair, nails, teeth, skin, flesh. So these are names, conventional names that we have given to them so that we all can understand them. But later, as we are giving or paying our attention thoroughly to the earth characteristics, then we don't need to remember these names. Rather, we are very much like emphasizing the earth characteristic. So the earth characteristics, hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, then heaviness and the lightness. So these are the, actually you can see that it has some heavy side as well as the lighter side. Hardness, roughness, heaviness are into the heavy side, and the smoothness, softness and the lightness are into the light side. All six belong to the earth element. Now, as you are walking, you can recognize it. As you are sitting, you can recognize it. If you pay your attention to the body weight, even while you are sitting, you can recognize the body weight. So likewise, so when you are having fair amount of mindfulness and fair amount of concentration, so these earth characteristics become more and more evident. At the beginning, it might not, because our mind is distracted, and again, mind is not concentrated. It's difficult to understand the characteristics. But later, suppose that you start with the typical body parts, naming them, contemplating, knowing their locations, as you are continuing such meditation, your attention becomes more and more concentrated to the body, confined to the body. And as you further refine your attention, your concentration, so these earth characteristics become more and more evident. Actually, sometimes when we are talking the elements meditation, we are not starting with the earth element, but we typically start with the air element. That is more easier for the yogi practically. So that's why rising and falling or anapanasati, that is the in-breath and out-breath. So they are more into the earth, more into the air element. And that is much easier for the yogi to start with the air element. But it doesn't mean that he is limited to that. Later he get into the other elements as well. Now here we are starting with the earth element. So earth element also you can recognize through the body. Now as Venerable Sariputta points out here, the earth element, which is not only internal, there are external earth element as well. He hasn't given explanation about what are the external earth element. Now he has given a thorough explanation about the internal earth element, explaining 19 parts, but he hasn't mentioned anything about the external earth element other than telling internal and external earth element are merely earth element, because it is quite obvious in a way, because outside there are so much of earth elements, various objects which are showing more earth characteristic. As I just mentioned, maybe a table, maybe a chair, maybe a stone, maybe a rock, maybe a wall. So much of earth elements are there, which are showing majority earth characteristic. And another thing is that these four elements are always manifested together. You can't find earth element in a single form. You can't take earth element singly, putting away the water element, air element, and the fire element. All of them are combined together, but one of them may be proportionately higher in concentration. Say for example, if we consider a table. So table still has water element. It still has temperature. It still has the fire element. It has the air element, which are not that evident. What is evident is the earth characteristics, the earth element. So that's why we are calling it as earth element. Similarly, say for example, skin. When we consider the skin, it is also majority is the earth element, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have apo, tejo, vayo. It is also still have the water element, still it has the fire element, still it has the air element. So therefore, there's another sutta Venerable Sariputta is explaining, showing a log, a timber log, and showing that he is saying that one with psychic powers, he can even understand inside this timber log there is water element, air element, and fire element, but it is not evident. What is evident is the earth element. If you consider a log, therefore we don't need to think that when we are recognizing earth characteristic inside the head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, skin, etc., we have to know the presence of the other elements as well. Venerable Sariputta doesn't highlight that. And particularly in that sutta, he explained that it is evident only to a person who is with psychic powers. So we don't need to have to go to that level. So there are other body parts which are showing the water characteristics, air characteristics, fire characteristics. So we can use them to understand those. But when we are recognizing earth characteristics using the majority earth components, we don't need to worry to recognize, okay, where are the water element, where are the air element, where are the fire element. We don't need to see. Rather, it is enough to see the earth characteristics using this given list. Now, anyway, when we practice elements meditation, so we actually are not limiting ourselves to the earth element. So in general, we are trying to recognize all four characteristics, or rather all four elements, knowing and going through their different characteristics. So we'll come to that one by one. Now, as I said, so when you are practicing Dhatu Manasikara, the elements meditation, recognizing earth characteristics is the important thing. There we actually forget about the shape of the part, we forget about the location even, but we are trying to emphasize the earth characteristic. And in that, actually, we are trying later to understand the universal characteristics. That is the impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and the non-self. So when we are knowing earth characteristic like hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, and lightness, it doesn't mean they are like particles. Rather, they are, we can say, are moving energies in a way. So hardness is not a one solid thing. Rather, there's a beginning of hardness, changing of hardness, and ending of hardness. Similarly, say roughness is not a constant thing. Rather, there is a beginning of roughness, then there's a changing of roughness, and then the ending of roughness. So likewise, they become all sort of activities, various little acts. And so when it comes to elements meditation, we are going more and more deeper levels to understand their energy characteristic, we can say, their changing characteristic, the impermanent characteristics, unsatisfactory characteristics, and most importantly, their non-self characteristic. Probably you have heard about the simile that Buddha is giving at the elements meditation in the Satipatthana Sutta. He's taking a butcher. When he is killing a cow, so he has the perception about an animal. So I am killing a cow. But later, after he removed the skin and divided it to various pieces, and now he is selling meat. Now he doesn't have any perception about an animal now. The perception has completely changed into meat, flesh. So likewise, when one practices elements meditation, at the beginning he may have certain amount of compactness view, the Ganasanya, and he may have certain amount of self view. As an individual I am practicing. But later all those wrong views are abandoned. Ultimately he understands, okay, what is available here is nothing but four elements. What is available outside is also nothing but four elements. So likewise his understanding is growing to the level that all the physicality that he is now saying as, okay, what is available is nothing but elements. So likewise his perception has completely changed as a result of the elements meditation. Okay, so we'll go one after the other with respect to these elements. So today I like to stop here. Now I like to open the session for questions.
Do you have any questions on your side, Bhante?
Yeah, Venerable Dhammavijita is going to ask a question. Yes.
Yes, thank you, Bhante, for your teaching.
Yep.
excuse me. So in this sutta, we're talking about right view.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Still, we haven't emphasized that,
yeah.
But anyway, we are developing the right view, because you know that as we continue this practice, so one time you may understand how impermanent they are, particularly. Mm-hmm. So now each element, how impermanent it is.
Mm-hmm.
So understanding their impermanence is more thoroughly understanding their right view. What is the right view? Now, say for example, in certain suttas like Nandikaya Sutta, so there Buddha highlights about this characteristic that I think I last time explained that with respect to Samadhitti Sutta. So various correct views are there, right views are there. So they are so understanding their impermanent nature is one type of right view. So similarly, when you are talking about this elements, so that's why they are not permanent. So one sense we can say we are removing the solid compactness view we have, later we are changing it to the kind of, they are all combination of many things, amalgamation of so many things. So there is nothing called as one unit. And even later we may get into a level, okay, things are very transient. Even though they are little pieces, they also are changing. They don't remain as it is, but they also change. So that knowing the changing nature is much deeper right view. And so we are coming to that slowly, in a way. Not immediately, but we are coming to that slowly. How right view could be developed. Now say for example like this. Now in the Patamanandikkaya Sutta, Buddha is telling, Anicchanyeva bhikkave bhikkhu rupang anicchanti pasati sasa hoti sammadhitti. So he says, so this body, this matter or this form is impermanent. So if someone knows that impermanent nature, impermanent form as impermanent, that is right view. So that's the point. So each and every aggregate he is telling like that. So anicchanyeva bhikkave chakkhum anicchanti passati sasa hoti sammadhitti. Anicchanyeva bhikkave rupang anicchanti passati sasa hoti sammadhitti. So likewise he is explaining. So whatever we consider as permanent, now you recognize it as impermanent, as transient. Now at the beginning, we are not able to understand that immediately. Now what we understand is, okay, these are different body parts. Still we can't say they are as impermanent. But more and more we are getting to the elements. Later we understand, okay, these elements also change. They don't remain as it is. That's why I mentioned. So this hardness is not same forever. Hardness has a slight beginning, changing and then ending. Softness also start, beginning and then, sorry, beginning, middle and then the ending. So they are certain kind of activities actually. So these elements, characteristics are certain kind of activities, certain energies. So when someone is coming to that level, we can say he has thorough right view, a more deeper type of right view. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. Okay, that's it from our side, Jennifer.
Okay, thank you, Bhante. I'd like to invite Geshan for the next question.
Durura Charanai Bhante.
Yes.
I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Very good. I really enjoyed the talk today. And this is how I have sort of realized, because as a child also, I have done this type of a meditation. And sometimes I try to think about when I talk about certain aspect, how one would perceive, and I think I can get into that, because sometimes you might sort of think the earth element itself, you know, like if you sort of think about a granite or some type of stone,
mm-hmm.
that is hard, and you know, and one can sort of say it doesn't sort of the elements doesn't exist in our body. But I think what we are trying to sort of say, okay, and maybe even if you touch a piece of wood, it is hard as well, but that doesn't have that comparison when you compare within our body. Our body is made out of cells, and certain type of cells basically creates these bone structures and etc. But merely, it is just that type of a direct comparison. A heart is that hardness, and the same hardness you feel it with when you touch your bones or your arms or your skin. And that is that type of earth element we are comparing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, Is that accurate thinking?
Yeah, I mean, internal and external is kind of a division that we have made. There may be like cell-like structures even in the outside. Now, say for example, when you are talking of botany in the trees, so they are also talking certain kind of cell-like structures. So therefore, we can't say it is only unique to the human body, but it is common to other areas as well. And it's a combination of different elements. Now, say for example, if you consider our skin, and if you consider teeth, skin and teeth are
yes.
different. Skin and teeth are different. Skin has certain softness,
sure.
and the teeth has so too much of solidity. But still, the majority we can say is the earth element. Skin certainly has certain amount of wet, watery characteristic also. That's more evident. But it doesn't mean that the teeth doesn't have it. Teeth also has become like solid because of the cohesive characteristic of the water element. So all four elements are there, but at different proportions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree, and I understand that, and I also believe in thinking about these four elements in our body. You know, like the air element is very present because the nature, when we breathe, it is that air that we take in. Not only that, within the body cavities, we have the space element, which contains air too, like inside the stomach, and after, you know, you have experience, or we all have experience, you know, inhaling, exhaling, burping, and all that after consuming food. So the whole idea of these four elements, the nature of its changes as well, and when you compare the outside as well, you see the similar kind of elements that changes as well. Is that sort of the whole premise is not to be so attached to your body? It's the most beautiful thing, you know, in your youth you think about it, but not, you know, and of course it is a changing in nature, and the changes you see within these four elements, and is that the sort of a main reason, so to detach the, or to give the detachment of that attachment that it can create?
Definitely. So actually we attach because we have given wrong emphasis or wrong importance. We have attributed wrong importance to the internal earth element, as it is beautiful, it is mine, it is more important, more valuable than the external earth element. Not knowing their say true nature, not knowing their common characteristic, not knowing their common properties. So more you understand internal and external are merely our own assumptions, and whatever earth element inside and whatever earth element outside are merely earth element. So there are one sense you lose that importance, the value that we have attributed. On the other hand, you are losing the solidity, or we can say the compactness. All that ultimately help to avoid any kind of an attachment, avoid any kind of a lustful belonging or any kind of a possession. Rather, now you are quite detached. You have even sort of a repulsion, or we can say a kind of a disenchantment. As you know that the yathabhuta jnana dasanam nibbidattam viragattam. So when you see things clearly, the one result of such understanding, such wisdom, is the detachment, dispassion, disenchantment. So that is the whole aim. Because, you know, it is not that we are trying to do a scientific analysis and trying to understand what are the, say, like a scientist, a physicist would do. Because their approach is actually to find more subtle particles, and their their nature, etc., etc., and maybe later they are going to use it in a weapon, mass destruction, this and that. So that is their motive. But here the understanding is, so you also do a kind of an experiment, but the result is a detachment. Result has to be the detachment. Result has to be the relinquishment, so that the mind does not grasp anything at all, considering these are important, these are beautiful, these are mine, etc., etc.
Yes, I think that is the most important aspect, what I have realized as well.
Correct.
And the more you, the value that I have given to certain objects in the past, and I feel, you know, like there is no much value, you know, because some, of course, there is a material value or the dollar value maybe, but that also is, you know, it's sort of decaying as well, or changing in nature because of these, because when you really see any type of object and you see these elements, their presence as well. So I really like you're confirming the same thing that I was thinking about it. So that's all what I had. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Now basically Buddha particularly highlight, now this whole Dhamma is for viraga, it is for dispassion. Now our minds are typically attached to things, and that is causing suffering, unsatisfaction, whole sort of mass of suffering. Now the aim is to understand the true nature of things, so the impact of that understanding is to detach, dispassionate, because we attach because we don't know their true nature. Now that's why when Buddha defines the Rupa Khanda, he say in certain suttas like Khajaniya Sutta, so it is subject to deformation. Ruppatitiko bhikkave tasma rupanti ucchati. Ruppatiti. It is subject to some sort of deformation, some sort of a change. And what are the examples he is giving is more simple examples. Now say for example, our body can be easily get sick even using a mosquito bite, even because of heat, even because of cold. And so likewise, it is very, very vulnerable, and it is not permanent, it is not a solid, permanent, stable thing. Rather, it is very fragile. So when someone reflects like that, his attachment reduces, his clinging, grasping reduces, and the importance that we have, he has attributed, also reduces. So the mind is easy to release now. When it is strongly attached, strongly hooked, it is difficult to release. But when you loosen the attachment, now this is possible to release. So the ultimate goal is to release the mind from everything without attaching to anything, without holding on to anything. So by giving this kind of a teaching, even this sort of environment, so that we are facilitating that whole releasing process.
Yes, I agree. And I my final question, if you don't mind, explain, you know, like our body is not only made out of these four elements, it is also made out of space element as well as the consciousness. And those two are not being considered for this sutra. Would you know what the reason behind it, or am I going into too unwanted territories?
I need to go through the whole sutra further. Actually, we'll discuss this further. So there, he is explaining the manifestation of the other, you know, the other aggregates also. Now, when you consider the other aggregates, say Vedana Khanda, Sanyukha, Sanya Khanda, Sankhara Vinyana, So there are the other aggregates or other elements are covered. Now, say for example, when we are saying cha dhaturo ayambhikkhu purisoti, when Buddha is explaining like that in the Dhatu Vibhanga Sutta, so he explains the four elements and then the space element and then the consciousness element, and that consciousness element actually includes all the say feelings, perceptions, formations and consciousness. That is one division. Say the point is the division or explanation given through elements, explanation given through ayatanas, explanation given through aggregates, these are different explanations. But ultimately telling us, giving us the facility to liberate, relinquish, abandon things to avoid any grasping. Now explaining about the elements are also the same way. So currently we are talking about the four elements and later we'll get into the other aggregates. So that, as you said, it will cover the consciousness element also.
Very good.
Yeah,
thank you
yeah.
so much, Bhante, Turu and Saranai.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you, Bhante. I don't believe there's any other questions from our side.
Okay. Okay, then we can wind up the session. Actually, this just the beginning of this sutta. So as we are moving forward, we are getting more understanding and kind of combination of so many other parts coming together, so that it is easy for us to link each many different dots and have a thorough understanding. Okay, then we'll have the sharing of merits. So all the merits what we have acquired by discussing the Dhamma, by listening to Dhamma, and even going through some short meditation, we share with all the celestial beings, with all the past relatives, and whoever in need of merits. And we wish these merits help us also to understand the Buddha's teaching and practice it and to realize Dhamma to the best of our ability. We'll recite the traditional verses. Ittavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam
sabbe divan mudantu sabba sampatti siddhya ittavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe bhutan mudantu sabba sampatti siddhya ittavata cha amhehi sambatam punya sampadam sabbe sattan mudantu sabba sampatti siddhya Akasapta jumata devanaga mahidika punyam tanganamoditva charam rakanti sasanam Akasapta jumata devanaga mahidika punyam tanganamoditva charam rakanti desanam Akasapta jumata devanaga mahidika punyam tanganamoditva charam rakanti mangparam Idam vo nāti nāṁ ho tu sukhita hum tu nāteo Idam vo nāti nāṁ ho tu sukhita hum tu nāteo Idam vo nāti nāṁ ho tu sukhita hum tu nāteo Imina punya kammena māme bāla samāgamo Satang samāgamo ho tu yāva nibbāna pattiya Imina punya kammena māme bāla samāgamo Satang samagamo ho tu yava nibbana pattiya Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo ho tu yava nibbana pattiya
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you, Bhante. Theruvan Sannai.
Yeah, Theruvan Sannai.